Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat giving you all the information you need to know surrounding the biggest news coming out of sports today. Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass. 2-minute warning coming up in about 6 minutes or so. 800-224-2004. Call to the show. Give us your thoughts, what you like, what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything. Lots of breakdown. More conversations in the breakout of the NFL draft. What else we can talk about from the NBA playoffs. So lots to get through. But I will say this. Let's start the show off right now with the recent news that I got to talk about. I can't believe I'm talking about them in a positive light. New York Yankees. I mean, I don't believe that the New York Yankees are going to win the World Series this year. I don't. I never will. I just can't see it. I don't know why, but I really can't. But they've won 10 in a row. Getting that big win because of a Gleyber Torres RBI double, if I wasn't mistaken, is huge. Coming around the play. He played in the runs, get the 3-2 win over Toronto. They've improved 10 straight wins. They're on the year 17-6. They seem to be playing extremely well. It's the longest winning streak of the majors this season. It's the longest by New York since August 14th through 27th of last year. They're playing good baseball. Pitching has been pretty well. They've been hitting with runners in scoring position pretty well. They've done a pretty decent job as a whole. I mean, I'm just looking at this situation right now, and I'm looking at the Yankees. Could they actually do? Is this the year? Like, is this the year where it all finally clicks together? I don't know. I mean, again, the bats are there. You add in Isaiah Kinnifafafa, who is a decent enough shortstop. Josh Donaldson, good enough bat that's going to be able to get you to the top of the lineup. Is efficient enough when it comes to the terms of what you're looking for in defensive third baseman. You have Anthony Rizzo. You have Joey Gallo. You have good. I mean, you have a good rotation. I mean, not a bad rotation. So Stanton. You still have Judge. I mean, you're missing like a legitimate power hitting center fielder. And maybe we can make an argument that you need another frontline pitcher. Besides that, I mean, are you looking for anything else? Like, are you really looking for anything else on this team? I don't know. I mean, if you play the way that you're playing right now, defensively, hitting with runners in scoring position, and probably the biggest thing of all is having the good players on the pitching staff, Yankees a good spot.
Time for the 2-minute warning around the NFL. Here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day around this time, we go back around the NFL, figuring out the biggest storylines that you might have missed, and we do so in 2 minutes or less, hence the reason we call it the 2-minute warning. Oh, Michael! Start the clock.
The San Francisco 49ers aren't giving up on Jason Verrett. The 30-year-old has re-signed with the 49ers, the team announced Monday. Verrett has been with San Francisco since he signed as a free agent in 2019, but he's only played in 15 games in the last 3 seasons combined. It is incredibly difficult to identify a player with worse injury luck than Verrett. The former 2014 first-round pick of the Chargers has played in double-digit games in just 2 seasons in his 7-year career, which included an entire year miss in 2018 due to a torn Achilles. He has torn his ACL twice, had another season cut short due to a knee issue that required surgery, and missed all but one game in 2019 due to an ankle injury.
I like the fit. I do. You know what? I will say this about Jason Verrett, if you have never know the story. He truly is a player that could have been. I really wish there was another way to say it. Because if he suffered so many injuries, both of the Chargers and the 49ers, since coming out of TCU, there are questions there. Like, there legitimately are questions when it comes to that. And it makes me sad because when he was coming out, he was one of the best overall cornerbacks at the time. Very quality player, high velocity, good footwork. And the only problem was he just wasn't healthy. Like, I mean, it felt like every single year he was suffering season-ending injuries. He just wasn't able to get the job done. and he wasn't able to stay on the football field. But when he's on the field, he at least is an efficient player. He's a willing tackler, and he did kind of rebound in his career with San Francisco. So I like this because D'Amico Ryans, who I do believe is an emerging coordinator that should be in the running for a head coaching job within the next 2 or 3 years for sure, he's going to get himself a number one cornerback back on the roster, and he's not going to be able to have to go ahead and start one of these young guys out the get-go. He's going to have some time to go ahead and work with them because if this guy understands the defense, he understands the style of play that they want. He also gets how they're going to utilize him on the outside, and he can teach. He can be a teacher at this point. So it's a good win for San Francisco. It's great that Jason Verrett's going back to a team where he feels like he belongs and probably also gave him an opportunity when no one else would because of all the injuries. This is really sad because if you really look at his history and you look at his life and you look at what he's done, he's one of those guys who probably should be a lot bigger in his role. And just he's not that way because, of again, injuries have derailed his career. Like, it really makes me sad. And hopefully he stays healthy. But at the same time, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you probably have an injury bug that's not going to go away anytime soon. That's just the reality of it.
The Eagles have sent Jason Kelce kegs of beer to convince him to return for the 2022 season, so it was high time to find his long-term replacement. Philadelphia general manager Howie Roseman did just that when he spent the 51st overall pick on the 2022 NFL draft on Nebraska center Cam Jurgens. Some may have expected Kelce to be upset by this selection, but the 24-year-old center saw it coming all along. In fact, Kelce handpicked Jurgens to succeed him, and it made sense for the Eagles to heed Kelce's advice. Compared with what Roseman and his team of evaluators saw in Jurgens, marry the two and spend the pick on the future at center.
No, I don't
get the hell.
He's gonna be fine. I knew we were taking him. You did? So this is my favorite player in the draft. I'm not just saying that because we picked him. The Eagles have been using me to like evaluate some of the centers coming out, and of all the guys that I've looked at, like for the past 2-3 years, out of all the guys that compare the most to myself, this guy is him. I mean, he is so athletic, so fast. You see him out in space, he runs. He's a natural athlete. You see the fluidity. He played tight end, a position convert. He's only been playing offensive line for 2 years. 4'9", 240, 1'7", 10". 7193 cone. This guy is a freak athletically. He has the best chance to be a difference maker at the center position. I like this kid a lot. I really do.
I think it's really important to hear what was just said by a veteran hand-picking his heir replacement and a really good veteran. Like, it's not like Jason Kelce is just one of these run-of-the-mill, all long-term centers. No, Jason Kelce has been an all-pro. Like, he is legit when we talk about him in this positive light. Like, let me ask you, Michael, if you were learning from the best producer of all time and he says, I want you to take over for me on a major network show, wouldn't that make you feel good about yourself?
Oh, yes.
Like, exactly. Like it's a guy who has been in the business for so long saying, I see a lot of meat in you, but at the same time, and probably more specifically, I know that you can have a better career than I could. You can actually be better than what I am. I put the foundation in place, and you can be better. That makes you feel good. But you know what else it should do? It should make Philadelphia feel good, because Philadelphia, right now, can sit here and go, we know what we're doing with our offensive line. And it's not just adding in Cam Jurgens, who, I'll be honest with you guys, I thought he was going to be more of a round 3, round 4 type player. I understand why he went round 2. The run on centers kind of started there, and it became bigger and bigger and bigger over time. But, like, when I look right now at, like, how the offensive line is going to be built, Jurgens takes over at center. Landon Dickerson, who was a center, is also going to now be able to play guard more permanently. And that might be a better home for him in the NFL, which is really good, especially if he can come back fully healthy. It's actually a pretty decent line. And I will say, if you're going to have Jalen Hurts as your starting quarterback, it's nice to give him ample protection for him to be able to work with the receivers. It really is. So I'm glad that Jason Kelce is improving on this. And more specifically, what I love about this for Jason Kelce, he gets to be that teacher for a few more years before he goes in and then calls it a career. I think he's got maybe two years left in him. And at that point, Juergens should be able to take over as the full-time center. Maybe he takes over after this season as the full-time center. I really, really like this move. I really, really like what I've seen by Philadelphia this offseason. And I will say, when you have a guy that believes in you, that's a good feeling. Like, that's a very, very, very good feeling, I think, for anyone to have in life.
The first round of the 2022 NFL Draft ended Thursday, and the Packers still didn't have a replacement for Davante Adams. Green Bay has been in the market for another weapon for Aaron Rodgers in each of the past three drafts, but the Packers hadn't spent a high pick on a pass catcher, and after Adams was traded to Las Vegas this offseason, the need was as significant as ever. Still, Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst stuck to his board, taking Georgia linebacker Quay Walker and defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt with his two first-round selections. Green Bay finally ended the streak when Gutekunst traded up with division rival Minnesota and selected North Dakota State receiver Christian Watson with the 34th overall pick, making him the highest pick spent on a receiver in the Rodgers era, surpassing 2008 selection Jordy Nelson taken with the 36th overall pick.
Yeah, I think you always, it's always about the how that group complements one another. I think I've talked about that quite a few times, just how you use them. I mean, certainly you're not going to find Davante Adams, at least not initially. Certainly, I don't want to limit any of these guys and say they can't become that. But, I mean, you're talking about one of the elite receivers in the game. And I think even if you look at Devontae's first couple of years, matter of fact, throughout this process, I went back and watched some of Devontae's highlights from college and just how he moved. I went back and watched his combine. And I would say that he looks a little bit different than he did then. So there is definitely it's a process. And, you know, it takes some time. And hopefully we can get these guys up to speed pretty quickly. And it's going to start with just how they attack it and how fast they pick this up. And certainly we're going to push them to be their best right away because that's what we need from them.
I love how people always are trying to find excuses for Aaron Rodgers and Packers and because they don't address the wide receiver position early. I'll tell you guys right now, I didn't mind the Devontae Wyatt pick. I didn't like the Quay Walker pick because I didn't think it was the number one linebacker in the group, but that still doesn't mean that they didn't need inside linebacker help. They absolutely did, and I thought they would have addressed it in round two. I love that they traded up for Christian Watson. I don't love that they drafted Christian Watson per se, but I love that they actually traded up and gave it a shot. I like Romeo Doubs. I really actually do like Romeo Doubs a lot. I think the way that they run him in the air raid offense for Nevada, he should be able to play that Marquez Valdes-Scantling role pretty well. And Samori Toure, who was their final pick last season at Nebraska, averaged 19.5 yards per reception, 898 yards, 45 catches. In his first year at the FBS level, after transferring from, if I'm not mistaken, it was North Dakota State, maybe. I think it was that. Maybe it was South Dakota State. It was an FCS school. I know that. Bottom line, Green Bay got better. And just because they didn't add a number one wide receiver doesn't mean that they're not going to be good. Like I do believe that Watson could be a stable number two. I actually think Romeo Doubs, for the value of where you got him, was a lot better than what you got for Watson. And if Toure can make the roster, there's three starting receivers. Aaron Rodgers has got to start being more competitive and has to understand that he doesn't have that veteran prospect on the roster anymore. So he's got to be able to work with the young guys. But the young guys have talent. And then you bring him back in Amari Rodgers from last year, who I do think has a tremendous upside in the slot. There's a lot to like about this organization. And there's a lot to like about the receiving corps over time. But if Aaron Rodgers doesn't like that, I mean, that's on him. Like, I'll be completely honest. The receivers that were available at that point, I wouldn't have taken in round one. I wouldn't. I would have maybe taken George Pickens or Sky Moore over Christian Watson, but I still would not have taken those guys in round one. I just wouldn't have done that. Like Green Bay and Brian Gutekunst, they made the right call. I don't want to hear it. They absolutely made the right call when you look at the receivers that were on the board.
It's been a noteworthy offseason for DK Metcalf. His franchise quarterback was traded. He found himself dealing with an injury and a walking boot, declared his commitment to making the Olympics, and has been the subject of extension talks aplenty. Noteworthy now is that his walking boot is off, and it will seem his contract talks are on. A 2019 NFL Draft second-round pick out of Mississippi, Metcalf is entering the final year of his rookie deal and due $3.98 million in base salary. A 2020 Pro Bowler, the 24-year-old has racked up 3,170 yards and 29 touchdowns in three seasons. Throughout much of the offseason, Metcalf has had a boot on his foot due to surgery, though it didn't slow him in expressing his desire to work towards the Olympics as a sprinter.
It's all smiles right now, because I know, you know, whether it's this year.
You know, I'm going to get paid.
Yeah, it's you know, just a matter of when. So,
right.
No, I can't stress over it. Can't think about it too much because, you know, I'm going to drive myself crazy. So
right.
I've just been enjoying this offseason, enjoying life, taking it a day at a time. I know it may sound cliche, but, you know, that's really how I'm living right now. I will say we gonna get something done. I think I'm going to be in Seattle, you know, for the next coming year. Yes, sir.
Unless they get a first-round pick for him, I don't see DK Metcalf getting traded. Like, but again, I also didn't see A.J. Brown getting traded. I think that I was most poignant about that one, saying it wasn't going to happen, and it did. But same time, you got to look at Seattle's situation right now. They have a lot of young pieces they just added in the draft, but none of them are cornerstones. Like, none of them we know are going to actually be effective and work right out the gate. Where we do know DK Metcalf's going to put fans in the stands, he's going to be a franchise cornerstone if you want him to be. And I do think that that does factor in for John Schneider and Pete Carroll when it comes to paying a player. They have to make sure that they can put fans in the seats, and it's a marketing standpoint. DK Metcalf, if you trade him, you don't have a number one player on the roster. It's like actually really sad. So for that reason alone, I believe him. I don't think he's going anywhere. I do believe that he's going to stay in Seattle, and he's going to get a long-term deal done pretty soon. They have it. 2-minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Industrial Strength Friol spreads deep into rusted and frozen parts, freeing them with ease. The three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Friol is also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicone-free. Great for seized engines, stuck ball joints, axle nut removal, corroded U-bolts, and so much more. So make sure you stop by your local auto parts store today to pick up your Friol deep penetrating oil right now. If you can't win within the draft, you might as well win within free agency. And I will say this, the New Orleans Saints did a little bit of both this offseason, not going to lie. I really do think that they did a little bit of both. Because if I look at the moves that they made as of late in the draft, I was a very big proponent of them. Again, I'll be the very first person to say this in 800-224-2004, calling the show, give me your thoughts on the situation. When you look, when it comes to terms of what we're seeing in the NFL draft, everyone says that they have the draft grades. They have the answer. They have the spectacle. They know exactly how a team is going to pan out. You know that, right? Can anybody tell me who was the number one rookie quarterback last year? Anybody? Michael, do you know who was the number one rookie quarterback last year?
I don't.
It was Mac Jones, who was the number 15 overall pick and the fifth quarterback selected. Do you want to know who was number two? Davis Mills. Selected 67th overall. Third round. But I thought all these other guys were better than him. Oh, yeah. See, exactly. But draft grade said, hey, Michael, draft grade said from the get-go, Justin Fields was going to hit. Trey Lance had a start. A plus. Don't give me that. Elijah Mitchell last year was a superstar. Six-round pick out of Louisiana. Six-round pick. Burst it onto the scene. Draft grades don't mean absolute crap to me right now. They don't. So regardless of what you think of the New Orleans Saints' draft grade, when it comes to Chris Olave and Trevor Penning giving up that draft capital, they also got a linebacker in DeMarco Jackson. Really, really love his tape if you go watch him. He's a really good space linebacker. I think there's a lot that he can build off of. They got better. New Orleans did get better. I know a lot of people are going to say, well, how much better did they get? Well, I personally love New Orleans' draft. I thought they were a really good team. I didn't even mind the second-round pick of Alante Taylor. I thought it was a bit of a reach, but besides that, I didn't mind it. And the reason I didn't mind the Alante Taylor pick was because I knew that they were not done. They were going to add a safety. And lo and behold, what did they do? Yesterday, they agreed to terms, 3-year deal with the Honey Badger. Tyrann Mathieu comes back to New Orleans. He becomes a superstar. He becomes the leader of the Saints defense. And now the Saints kind of feel like a viable threat. They really do. The three major positions, in my opinion, that needed to be addressed this offseason by New Orleans was safety, wide receiver number two, left tackle. Check, check, check. Now, here's what I will say. I'm not sure New Orleans wins the Super Bowl this year. I'm not sure that New Orleans makes it out of the wild card round this year. But they're a playoff team. They absolutely are a playoff team. If they can stay healthy enough and find stability at the running back position with Alvin Kamara, whenever, however much time he misses, and if you get back Michael Thomas, the Michael Thomas that we know, maybe not even at the elite level that we saw, like the top 10 from 2018, 2019, if you get like a 80 reception guy, maybe 800 yards, 7 touchdowns, you're a playoff team. Defensively, they're loaded. They have absolutely everything you're looking for. Secondary, they have good players. They have a really good number two cornerback in Paulson Adebo. They have a really good number one cornerback in Marshon Lattimore. They lost out on a cover one type safety in Marcus Williams, but Marcus May can play rangy, play the rangy role. He also can play strong safety, just like Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu can do a little bit of everything. Linebacker, love the fits. Pete Warner, I think he's going to have a really good year. I think that DeMarco Jackson is the long-term replacement for DeMario Davis, but Davis is still playing at a high-end level. The interior, the defensive line is great. Everything about them is really good defensively, and players love to play for Dennis Allen. They know the fit. They know the scheme. It's not changing much. That is exactly what you're looking for defensively. Like, you know that that scheme is going to work with these players because you already saw it work last season. Offensively, you got yourself a quality number two receiver. And I said this multiple times on the show, and I'll say it again. I loved the wide receiver class in this year's draft, but I will say the one that I was most keen on was Chris Olave. And why was I so keen on him being the guy? Because if I looked at his numbers and I looked at his stat line, he's going to be the one that's the most consistent. I don't know if he's ever going to be a six-time 1,000-yard receiver, win with like 13 touchdowns, or get like 150 catches in a single season. But he is going to be a guy that averages about 75 to 90 catches on a year, 800 to 1,000 yards every single season, and 4 to 8 touchdowns. That's a high-volume number two. And he's going to be the most consistent one in the class. Garrett Wilson, I think, has the most upside when it comes to being a number one. I think Drake London has the size that you're looking for to be a stable option in the red zone. But the most consistent receiver was Chris Olave in this year's class, without question, in my opinion. And then you look at them adding in Trevor Penning. Penning's going to take some time to get used to working on that pass protection, but he is a starting left tackle in the NFL. Over time, it's going to take a minute, but over time. New Orleans, in my opinion, had a stellar offseason. They didn't oversplurge by adding in Deshaun Watson. They kept a lot of their core pieces together. There's a young roster at hand with players that can be effective, and they may not be done. I mean, if you really think about it, and you look at the salary cap right now for New Orleans, if they can maybe add in another player or two, because they have $19 million right now in salary cap space, maybe they go get Jarvis Landry to be the number three receiver. I mean, can you not say that this is a team that maybe if Jameis Winston, as long as he is a competent quarterback, 9, 10, maybe even 11 wins? Because we know this happens every single year. We know that New Orleans beats Tampa. They at least get one in those series. Atlanta, they're going to be rebuilding this year. Carolina, I have no idea what they are. I don't want to say they're going to be good. I don't want to say they're going to be bad. I personally don't think that they're going to be good, but you never know. That could change in an instant just because of an offensive line now getting better. But they could steal both those games. So we're talking about potentially 5-1 in the division this year. 5-1 gets to the postseason. 5-1 with this roster not only gets to the postseason, there's a shot you win the NFC South. And if you win the NFC South, guys, watch out New Orleans. Jameis Winston is the key here, but I love the Chris Olave fit. I love that they've got Trevor Penning. I absolutely love that they got the deal done with Tyrann Mathieu. Very good, affordable deal as well, $33 million. They upgraded on so many different sides. There's so much to like about it. I don't know how anyone is disappointed with New Orleans.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Well, it's that time of the show, Cole's Calendar, where we break down the national holiday that all of you people seem to find. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's at least going to be three, if not more, and probably these more. And we pick one, only one, for you to decide for the rest of your life. And actually, you know what? You don't even get to decide. I get to decide what the national holiday is. It's my show. I am just saying it. So let's go ahead and get this done. 800-224-2004. Michael, what are our options for today?
Too many.
Okay, give me like five today.
I have four ready for you.
All right, cool. So, and if we need a fifth, we'll get a fifth.
Okay, so there's 12 of them.
Yeah. You people are monsters.
A baker's dozen. You, I'm not a baker's dozen.
I say, yeah, how 12. Dare you? Monsters, Michael. They're monsters. How dare they waste our time with this stuff?
I think there's some good ones, though.
All right, well, let's hear them.
National Foster Care Day.
Oh, that's sweet. That is sweet. It's a good start. Not gonna lie. I mean, foster families are great, and I really do appreciate them because, of again, I think the one thing that we have to understand is that the love of a family is so much more important than anything else. Like, just to know that you're taken care of is so important. So I will say that foster family is a really big one. So foster care, I give them that.
Second one, National Teacher Appreciation Day.
Ah, God. If I don't pick this one, Kirsten's going to be mad. Like, Kirsten's going to be really mad. She's brought this up to me at conversations multiple times this week. She's been like, hey, are you going to go ahead and get me a gift basket or something? And I'm like, why? Well, because it's Teacher Appreciation Week. I didn't always learn anything from you. Yeah, exactly. I see you on the other side laughing like a hyena. Exactly. Why do I need to get you something? Get your student something. Yeah, but kids are mean today. Welcome to being a teacher appreciation. None. You're going to have no appreciation. Good luck. Take care. See ya.
Third one is National Two Different Color Shoes Day.
What? What? National Two Different Color Shoes? Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I can get behind the two color shoes. It's the different style of shoes. Because I'll tell you right now, if I were to wear my Nikes and then wear my Vans on my other foot, I would be lopsided for the remainder of the day. I'd be like flopping everywhere.
Yeah, just, see, that's a no-go. You should just change up the color.
See, but if you have the same shoe just in different colors, then yeah, I'll at least respect that one. But if you're like wearing a Vans, then wearing like a Adidas or something like that,
yeah, cause it,
you're going to be flopping. Like one side is going to be a nightmare to walk on.
Imagine if you're wearing an Adidas Ultra Boost, and then you're wearing those Sperry shoes on the right side.
Exactly.
Whew.
Like you have a lifted side, and then you have as flat of a surface as can be. You're walking like Quasimodo at that point. Like, Master, come on, Master. Like that's what it feels like. Nah. No, because you want to what? Because that's going to be the thing. People would talk about that. That would be the thing. So, no, I'm not doing that.
Fourth one, Garden Meditation Day.
I need to go to my sense of tranquility right now, but I can't find it because if I'm out in a garden, I don't even know where a garden is anymore because people decided to destroy life by putting in parking lots and whatnot. Counting Crows told us this a long time ago. Pave paradise, put up a parking lot. They told us that a very long time ago. I need another one just to be safe. One more. Whichever one you think is the best.
Man, I don't even. Oh. I think I got one. National. Oh, my God. Let me. This thing, the thing is loading. National Specially Abled Pets Day.
My heart just broke a little bit, man. Why'd you have to pick that one?
And then there's a picture of a dog, like, in a wheelchair, like, the two legs in the back. Yeah.
Why'd you have to pick that one?
And it's a pug.
I hereby decree National Special Needs Pet Day. Seriously. I mean, I give a lot of credit to people out there who go ahead and, you know, will do whatever it takes to save an animal's life, especially one when they have an amputee. I recently have a friend who, her boxer, she recently broke her leg in, like, three different spots. And they said that it was easier for them to go ahead and either euthanize her or take her leg off. She chose to take her leg off. She's teaching the dog how to walk on three legs and run on three legs and keep her balance, which isn't actually that hard, apparently. Like, apparently a dog learns pretty quickly what it's like to walk on three legs. But still, That's a challenge. And to give a dog life and to give a dog a second chance when you have that, or a cat, or any animal for that matter, is really special. Like, it truly takes a special person to do that. So I commend any single person out there. But I love happy doggos. I love happy doggos. Like I have three dogs right now with Cooper, Max, and Paisley. I don't know where I'd be with any of them. Like, I really don't. They make my life. Like, I love talking to them more than I love talking to people. And I totally understand. Like, yeah, 100%. You gotta go special needs dog.
Not gonna lie, it was kind of a stacked national day today.
It was a very stacked national day. I will say teacher appreciation should have probably taken the cake, but I didn't choose that one, and now when Kirsten listens to the show, she's going to get mad, and then we're going to mention how we have three dogs, and then she's going to go, okay, never mind. Yeah, it works for me.
Like, yeah, before she listens, you got to take her baskets like that. It can ease her pain.
You know what could ease the pain of Kyler Murray's situation in Arizona? That would be adding in a premier wide receiver. That would. A guy they trust. Guy he loves. Guy he is absolutely fond of, because if that's the reason why he won the Heisman Trophy. Marquise Hollywood Brown traded for a first-round pick along with a third-round pick from the likes of the Baltimore Ravens to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for the number 23 overall selection. There's three things that I take away from this deal. Number one, doing whatever it takes to make Kyler Murray happy is priority number one for Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Kime. That is absolutely the number one deal. They want to go ahead and have roster control. They want to go ahead and be the start and be the be in charge. But they want to make their quarterback happy. So what you do is you lose a really stable receiver in Christian Kirk up the middle. You add in a good vertical option who is never going to be a number one. I'm sorry. I know there's Ravens fans out there. There's that freaking idiot on TikTok who looks like an absolute moron and pours water on himself about Ravens stuff. He's not number one. Marquise Brown is not going to be a number one receiver ever in the NFL. But he can be a high volume number two. And he can be a very good number two in this offense. Number two, and this is another thing I will take away, I don't think that there was a game plan going into the draft for what Arizona needed to do. I don't. Because when I look at Arizona, they need to upgrade the offensive line. They need to upgrade the defensive line. They could have gotten an edge rusher. They could have gotten a safety. They could have gotten a couple of other players. They could have done a lot. And instead, they traded for a receiver who in 2 years, really 1 year for being honest, they're going to have to pay. They're picking up his fifth-year option. That's great. So you have him under roster for 2 years. But you're going to have to pay him eventually. And when you pay him, you're also going to have to pay Kyler Murray. So you're going to have to pay two guys. And they're not going to come cheap. Because again, look at the wide receiver market. Like even Christian Kirk getting $18 million a year after not having 1,000 yards in his entire career, at least it's going to cost you $20 million for Hollywood Brown. And the reason why? He's had at least one 1,000-yard season. And maybe he'll have another 1,000-yard season in the next 2 years. Who knows? Maybe him going to Arizona and working with Kyler, who does have a stronger arm than Lamar Jackson, who is a little bit more efficient and understands the cadence of the offense and the rhythm and consistencies because of the college career. Maybe that does pan out. It works a little bit better. I don't know for sure. But what I will say is that if it doesn't, it feels like a waste of a pick. And it's still to me. It feels like a waste of a pick. It does. Because I want someone with roster control that I'm not going to get. But number three, and this is probably the biggest one, I'm not so sure that the Arizona Cardinals should be feeling good about themselves this morning. I don't know. I really don't. Because of the moves that they made in free agency were so minimal that none of them really stood out. Yeah, you bring back James Conner. I mean, if he can produce the way he did in the red zone, it's a good move. Yes, if you can get the same type of production for the likes of Zach Ertz, then it was a good move. But you didn't draft exceedingly well in any area. Trey McBride is a really, really, really good tight end. Like, I absolutely loved his film. I thought that he was the best tight end in this year's class. But why then pay all that money for Zach Ertz if you're just going to use your first pick on his replacement? You could have gone ahead and you need to upgrade with Chandler Jones because you lost him in free agency. And while Majai Sanders out of Cincinnati, I think it can be a very stable secondary pass rusher, he's not going to meet the production of what Chandler Jones is. You also need to upgrade your secondary. You didn't do that. You could have upgraded your interior offensive line. You didn't do that. And now I'm looking at this roster, and even though you have weapons on it, such as DeAndre Hopkins, such as Marquise Brown, such as James Conner, such as Zach Ertz, I'm not sure the team got better. I actually think the team got worse. By the way, I didn't mention a name in there, and I meant to mention him, DeAndre Hopkins, because he is a part of the Arizona Cardinals. He is a major factor of this team's offense, and he is one of the main reasons why Arizona has been successful with Kyler Murray. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Newsflash. Missing the first six games. Won't be here for week seven. Violated the PED scandal, so now he's out to begin the year. And in a division like the NFC West, where if by any chance you get Baker Mayfield to go to Seattle, let's just say Baker Mayfield goes to Seattle. Seattle had an excellent draft. Boy Mafe, Charles Cross, overtime Abe Lucas, I think can be a starter at right tackle. Kobe Bryant, Tariq Woolen, two cornerbacks that fit their style of defense. They have the safeties already figured out. They added in Kenneth Walker to build into the run game. Like, there's a lot to like about Seattle if they just had in a quarterback. They can be competitive. They absolutely can be competitive if they want to go with the quarterback and they bring in Baker Mayfield. San Francisco, they lost some pieces. They didn't lose that much. They're still going to be a stable team. And even if you do play Trey Lance over Jimmy Garoppolo because you can't trade him, wasn't Trey Lance supposed to be the best option? Wasn't he supposed to be able to be in year two the guy? So then guess what? If he has a good year, you have a good start. And then you have the defending champions in Los Angeles. The bottom line is that when I look right now at Arizona, yeah, they added in a receiver to make Kyler Murray happy, but at what cost? At what cost? The team does not have a good offensive line. They have a decent tackle, and that's about it. They have one good tackle. Maybe you can make an argument that because of Hudson's there, you can the center position is okay. They have two decent offensive linemen. They have one receiver who's now going to have to play the number one role when he was brought in to be the number two. They have an okay run game, a disgruntled quarterback, and the defense is missing a lot of pieces because they lost Chandler Jones in free agency. You want to tell me where this team is? You want to tell me where this team is sitting? How this team is built? You feel like they're a contender? You feel like that they're going to be good? They may be able to get 8 or 9 wins. They may be able to get 10 wins on the year. But in this division, that's not enough. That's not enough. You look at San Francisco. You look at the success of what you've seen from Seattle over time and how they've at least been a 7-plus win team, it feels like, every single year. You look at what you've seen from Los Angeles. They're a competitive team. We know what these teams are. The NFC West, everyone wants to talk about the AFC West being so competitive now. It is. Like, it 100% is. But to talk about the NFC West, it still is the best team. It's still the best conference in the NFC. Like, it still is the best division in the NFC. Arizona did not get better. They actually regressed over draft weekend. And I'm not so sure that Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury, I know they got their extensions. I know that they're at least under contract for the next few years. I'm not so sure they lived through their contract extensions. I've been very keen about my thoughts on Steve Keim as a GM and what I think of what he does when he comes to the draft. In my opinion, he is the worst drafter. That move, to see what you got for A.J. Brown, to see what you got for some of these other players in the free agent market, Hollywood, one 1,000-yard season, too much of a price. Too much of a price. Which then brings me to my other point before we get on out of here. The wide receiver market, who gets traded next? I don't know if there is. What I will say is we know an asking price. We know that there is an asking price now with A.J. Brown signing his 4-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. So $25 million is the starting price for DK Metcalf. It's the starting price for Terry McLaurin, and it's the starting price for Deebo Samuel. Samuel's going to want more because Samuel has to want more because of how they utilize him in the offense. Now, if they don't utilize him the same way in the offense and he wants to get traded, Carolina makes a lot of sense. Why not go ahead and add him for like a second-round pick, maybe a first-round pick if you really want to, call it a day. See what you got with Sam Darnold, maybe Matt Corral, whichever one of these two works. Maybe get a deal done with Jimmy Garoppolo as included in the package and send Sam Darnold out to San Francisco. DK Metcalf, again, I've said this before. I think for an actual franchising staple standpoint to market the team, you got to keep him on the roster. And according to everyone that I've spoken to, Terry McLaurin's not going anywhere. Like, he's staying 100% in D.C. When I look right now, Deebo Samuel may get traded, but I think you have a better shot of seeing one of these guys get paid. If I were to be a betting man, Terry McLaurin's the one that gets paid. And I do believe that you'll start to see the market kind of set. Bottom line, nobody's getting traded, in my opinion. Keep a close eye on it, though. The wide receiver market could change in a minute. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every day here on Just Saying It. Greatest invention ever. Respect your elders, too, by the way. So what I mean by that is that TikTok is really funny because TikTok now apparently is just like having all these superstars now find pages and they're all commenting on like lesser known pages. But I will say Kane Brown, the country singer, respects his elders because there was a viral video that was going around recently. Who's a better country singer? Now, Michael, I'm not sure if you listen to country music that much, but I can tell you right now, you probably know this name. Kane Brown or George Strait? Do you know both of them?
I know George Strait.
You know who George Strait is, right? So in the video, there was a girl asked, who's a better country singer, Kane Brown or George Strait? First question, who's George Strait? Kane Brown comments on the video and says, guys, don't use me like that. There is no one who can beat the GOAT. How dare you put my name in the video? I love that. Like, sheer pettiness, but at the same time, it's a great way to build a following. All right, that does it for me. I'll be back tomorrow to break down more content. See you then. Later.